Good morning. In case you guys don't know, this is the time of the year that we give the staff the week off. They get the week between Christmas and New Year's off, so the elders will teach. We have no Brittany, no Catherine, no Bob, so we're going to let the kids run the second service. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Scott Watkins, and I've had the pleasure of being on the elder board here in serving Community Bible Church, and I just want to say thank you for the opportunity that it's been to serve here, and it's been a pleasure, and I've enjoyed my time serving, and I just looking forward to passing the baton. It's that time. The church is, we're at, I don't want to say a crossroads, but we're passing on the baton is a good way to put it. We've got some new guys coming on the board. It's going to be exciting. It's an exciting time. And we just look forward to what God's going to be doing here at Community Bible Church. With that said, let's pray and we'll get started this morning. Father God, thank you again for this time. Thank you again for this morning, and again, we just want to be servants to you. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for who you are in our lives, and we thank you for Community Bible Church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, who is Community Bible Church? Are we relevant in the community? Are we making a difference in the community? Are we making a difference in the world? And if we closed our doors today, would anybody even notice? I want to plant those seeds because I'm going to circle back to that at the end. Okay? I answer those questions myself as I ask those questions, and I'll kind of lead as to what I believe and how I feel and as we move forward. Over the course of the years, and I'm going back to when we started approximately 18 years ago. Community Bible Church started as a church, and there was quite a few ministries that we've done over the course of the years, and I'm going to try to recap a few of them. I know I'm going to leave a few out because it's just I couldn't think of everything, and if I leave a few out, I'm sorry. I want to apologize ahead of time, but I want to think back to when we started, and I remember at one time we used to do Awanas, and Awanas was great, and it's super. It's for the kids, and at the same time, this time of the year, we used to take those kids out into the little community around us at Montalvo, and we would sing Christmas carols at night. So we would go door to door, and we would do Christmas carols, which was really cool. So that was a little outreach we used to do. Also, when we first started, we used to take our youth, our junior high youth, down to a park in Oxnard many years ago, and we would serve the homeless. We would feed the guys that were there, and the guys and women, families that were in the park, and they would come through. And the parents and you guys would cook food for the kids. We'd put it in a room. Then after the second service, we'd load the kids up in the vans, and we'd drive over to Oxnard, and we'd serve food, and then we would bring them back home. We've done Montalvo School for years. Sunrise service at the Cross, another outreach that we partner with. We do a real good job. The Kingdom Center was something that we've done for years, another awesome ministry that CBC has been a part of. Family missions trips to Mexico. When we started originally partnering with APU and going down to Mexico and encouraging families, which we still do today. We like this to be a family trip, a family time, a time where we're doing ministry together. The kids see mom and dad doing ministry also, and it's not just talking about it. They're actually living it out, and that's another great thing we've done. The Royal Family Camp that we do when we go up to the mountains, and they reach out to foster kids, and I don't know if many of you guys know, but there's approximately 9,000 kids that have gone through that program in the last 28 years. And that's pretty amazing. And We have a niece who has a foster child, and she told us when we were spending some family time together this Christmas that there's over 55,000 kids in the foster programs in just L.A. alone, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. That's a lot of children. Operation Grace, which is another one. I mean, I can think of a lot of things that we do and have done here as a church that I think we've done well. Now, some of those things we still continue to do today, and some of those we don't. But in all, I still think we do a very good job at that. And I want to focus on a couple of them that I didn't mention. The one that I want to start off with is Food Share. Food Share is another service that we do here at the church. And I think back as to when Food Share started. Food Share started, we started doing it about 4 years ago, so 2014. And we started when we were over on Johnson. And it was an idea that was brought to us. And we thought, hey, this is a perfect opportunity for us to reach the community again. And so Chuck Terra, who worked for Food Share at the time, kind of organized some things for us, and they got it going. So we would set up out in the parking lot out there at the old church. We'd put these, I don't know what you want to call them, those like barricade sign-looking things out by where people would drive in so that they could see that we were doing Food Share. And then we had the youth room in the back, which was on the other side of the parking lot, that we would bring the food around to, and we'd set these tables up. And then we would just hope people would show up. And you know, we'd passed out flyers and things got started and got going. And then when the time came for us to move over here to Telegraph, we thought, oh, what's going to happen to Food Share? You know, it was one of those things like those people aren't going to be able to find us. You know, they're all over there, and we're serving that community, and we're going to come over here, and we're going to continue Food Share. And there's not going to be anybody there. Well, that's not the case, and that hasn't been the case. Today, we do things a little bit different. We have our own facility, obviously. We've got our own little kitchen area that we've been working on and continue to work on, and we're preparing that to where someday we might be able to actually serve food out of there. But just this year alone, this is just speaking for 2018, there have been approximately over 400 families that have come through this church, through this parking lot, into that back building that we've had the privilege to serve. On top of that, over 13,000 pounds of food, okay, just this year alone. Now, being kind of nerdy that I am, and those of you who know me know that I'm a baseball fan, and they got a statistic for everything. So, of course, I get into numbers and statistics and how many times a guy spits before he comes to home plate. They've got a statistic on everything. So I just started, you know, running some numbers in my head going back just 4 years. If I'm doing my math right, excuse me, and this is just on a conservative, doing numbers based on a small 10% growth over 4 years, I've estimated that there have been about 45,000 pounds of food that have probably been served out the back door there, and which is probably a pretty good guess. Yeah, that's very, very good. Anywhere from 22 to 23 tons, and I don't see any millennials in the room, but I wanted to tease them anyway. So for those of you who don't know millennials, that's 2,000 pounds to a ton, so it'd be about 23, 24 tons, okay? So how can I get involved? Okay, there's many ways you can get involved. This is something we do as a family. This is something we try to encourage that you help serve. There's many things that can be done. So we meet, they do it the second and the fourth Saturday of every month. It's going to go on as long as CBC is in existence, as far as I know. That we will continue to serve the community and serve the people out the back door, and it's continuing to grow, and we're just very, very excited about it, and we want to continue on with that ministry. And I'm running short on time. Excuse me. Ugh. The other thing I want to talk about real quick and real briefly is our missions. Another thing that was started back when the church was started back in 2000. We currently have 17 families that we support across the world in 11 different countries on 5 different continents. So when you think about that, that's pretty darn good. For 18 years now is the existence of CBC. We've given, again, these are rough estimate numbers, approximately $750,000 or $750,000 to these mission organizations throughout the world. And some people may say, God, that's, you know, that's a lot of money. You know, you probably could have used that money for something else or something better. We could have done this or we could have done that. When this church was started 18 years ago, the leaders got together and said, look, how can we best impact our community for Jesus Christ? How can we do this? And all these different ideas were thrown around and came around, and missions was a key. We figured if you could make an impact in the community, we could also make an impact in the world. And through the missions, that's how we make our impact in the world. Approximately 11 to 15% of our annual budget goes to missions. Okay, these are to these mission families who are out serving the world. Missions actually start right here. They start in your backyard. They start at your house. Personally, I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to support these people who are out in the world, who are out sharing Jesus Christ and telling the world about him. And I have the privilege of being able to support them and help them in any way that I can. We will continue to serve and to support these people because that's who we are. When people think about Community Bible Church, that is in our DNA. That is what we are. And that is how we best can impact the world through our missionaries by being able to support them. Now, the main thing, when you talk to any of them, we've had many of them come through the doors here, and it's always a privilege when they come through and when they be able to spend some time with us and they can share about what's going on in their lives and how they can share about their ministries. And there isn't a single one of them that wouldn't tell you the most important thing is to pray. Please continue to pray for those people who are out in the field. That is probably the best thing we can do for them. And then as we give every year and as we plan our budgets, know that every time you give to CBC, that anywhere between 11 and 15% of your money goes to support the missionaries out in the field. And that's just, that's who we are. And I believe those are two extremely important things that we do here in the community that we can continue to do and how we can impact Christ best in the world we live in. Luke, here's where we go to the scripture part. You know, we knew we were going to get there. Luke 12:48 says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been given and entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We're very fortunate to live where we live. We're very blessed to live where we live. And this is not a guilt thing on anybody in any way. This is just a reminder that this is who we are, and this is what Community Bible Church is and what we stand for. And so I want to go back, and I want to circle back to what we originally started with. Who is CBC? When people ask you, or you were to ask somebody, who is CBC, I would say that CBC is a light on the hill. That we're a light for Jesus Christ on Telegraph Road, who are making an impact. Are we relevant in the community? I would say yes. I would say yes. Are we making an impact in the world? I would say yes. If we closed our doors today, would anybody notice? I would say yeah. Yeah, and those are all good. Those are all very good. I want to thank you again for having the opportunity to serve you. And again, I can't tell you how awesome and how proud I am to have been able to serve this body and to be able to be a part of what's going on here at Community Bible Church. All right, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mike Shaw. I'm also one of the elders here. I've been an elder at CBC for about 7 years. I've also done the finances here, and it's been great. I've been coming to CBC for a long time. So for my sermon, I wanted to review just Bob's identity series, because I think it's important to know who we are in Christ and who we are and what we have a hold of. I think it's important to know for CBC what you've got here, but also individually. So I was going to just quickly review Bob's 11-week identity series in 10 minutes. So just in summary, this is how the agenda went, but it was exploring the kingdom of God, hearing from God, your kingdom identity, biblical forgiveness, confession, repentance, living fearlessly. And then there were four examples of identity in Christ. And then Bob summarized it with the disciple maker's identity at the end. So kicking off into week one, exploring the kingdom of God, the quote there is from Dallas Willard, and I should have given credit to him, but the kingdom of God is the reign and rule of Christ. It is wherever his presence is recognized and affirmed. A lot of times we think that it's some future place out there, and it's not. It's a physical place. It's here. It's right here where we are now, this moment, or wherever we have a few of us together that are recognizing and affirming Christ. It's not, as I mentioned, it's not future-oriented. It's here, it's now, but it's not a passive experience, like Scott said, with experience with getting involved and being active and participating in your experience. So I think it's important to identify, start with the kingdom of God and who we are in that and where the kingdom of God is. Hearing from God, week two. This is where he went into the Jamie Winship questions. The two questions that Jamie Winship continually asks is, God, what do you want me to know? God, what do you want me to do? And I like these because they're listening prayers. So when you're reading scripture, you can just take a pause. A lot of times my prayers, unfortunately, and just a confession, are a monologue or a soliloquy or a diatribe and not very bidirectional. And it just was very convicting to hear those questions because you got to listen. If you're going to ask a question, it's kind of rude not to wait for the answer. But there's a lot of times when I reverse these, and Bob mentioned this, so I'm staying on Bob's sermon here. It's like, God, here's what you need to know. God, here's what you need to do. And I'm sure he's just, you know, thank you, Michael, for letting me know this. Yeah, reach down, give me a high five. Yeah. And it's terrible. It's terrible. I need to listen. I need to read my scripture, and I need to just be silent and listen. And, of course, Bob went through the filters and how to confirm God is speaking to you. Does it align with scripture? That's always a good thing. Does it bring glory to God? Does it motivate you to go deeper in your relationship with God or to make a change or get involved or change your activities in some way? And then the second half, the next slide shows, you know, how does God speak to us? And he talked about Samuel and through scripture, through visions and dreams, through repetition, impressions, signs, symbols, pictures, people, and counsel. Through my years as a Christian, I've had all of these. I mean, I can definitely point to different areas of my life where I've been spoken to through this, but my antenna needs to be up first. If I'm not listening and in tune with God and kind of being open to that reception, my antenna is down and I'm not going to pick up on that. But there are clearly things that God doesn't make it easy. He's not going to like scream for your attention. Yeah, he doesn't want to be a second fiddle in your life. He wants to be the primary one. That's where we need to be listening. So a summary of week two, practice listening. That was the most convicting thing to me personally and through this, but remembering that God has his own timing and that his timing is in my best interest. As difficult as it seems at that moment, God's timing is best. And persist in faith and keep searching scripture. We can pray, but I think prayer and scripture reading have to be in equal balance there, because that's where we're going to hear the most from the Lord. Week three, your kingdom identity. And this is where we get into it. It's so easy for us to think that the world is just around us and we're so in it that we get our circumstances and other people and jobs and parents and all the stresses and strains of this immediate tangible world around us give us our identity, and that's completely wrong. The kingdom identity in Philippians, I love that. It's just kind of an interesting where Philippians 3, where Paul gives his laundry list of all his like stellar qualifications. And then the first thing he says right after that is, I consider everything a loss. So it's just a complete reversal of everything that the world is telling us. And we know that, but it's so easy to fall into that trap. the new goal. We have a new goal of the upward call of Christ and of God in Christ Jesus. We have a new citizenship of heaven, and heaven is here and now. And we have a new hope. We're transformed through the with the conformity to Jesus, our likeness to Jesus. Week four, biblical forgiveness. He talked about Genesis, the life of Joseph, starting in Genesis chapter 30, which was great. But we have been forgiven by God. We have been released from a debt we can never repay. And Scripture commands us that we forgive others who sin against us. Joyce Meyer, I like her quote where she says, unforgiveness is you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. If we don't get our identity from others, it frees us to forgive others. So we have to have our identity in Christ, not other people, and not the acceptance of other people, or not the approval of other people. The approval of God is all it is, what it's about. So God is at work in the midst of our afflictions, and we need to bathe in God's word. We need to bathe in the fellowship of the body of who we are, and the community aspect of the Community Bible Church. Bathe in prayer. And again, Bob mentioned and emphasized the listening prayer, so that we are listening. Week five, confession and repentance. The scripture for that week was 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Verse 8 mentions that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So what are some of the signs of a false identity? If we're inconsistent, if our walk is not equal to our talk, if we're unrepentant and we say we have no sin, relativism, deceiving ourselves, making God out to be a liar, his word is not in us. That's verse 10. To heal from sin, we must confess and repent and listen to God. Again, God, what do you want me to know? God, what do you want me to do about this? So acknowledge the sin to God and ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit and move forward. Week six, living fearlessly. The scripture there was 2 Timothy 1. And this, you know, Paul was encouraging Timothy to do not be ashamed. There are two types of fear. There's a healthy fear and a hurtful fear. And as we mentioned earlier, where do we get our identity? We fear everything. We fear everybody's approval. We fear everything except God. And that's the one thing we should fear, the one and only thing. Fear, guilt, and shame are not from God. Our calling is not based upon our competence. Life's greatest fear has been removed. The fear of eternal death and damnation has been removed through Christ's sacrifice for us. Week seven is where we started getting into the examples of the identity. So we got in, Ren was preaching that week, and Ren talked about his identity as an ambassador for Christ. His subtitle, not mine, was An Irrational Life. And the scripture was 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul's teaching on the current, on our current house, our current tent. And Paul does not have a desire to die, but he had a better and desire to be with Jesus. All of which contradicts our human nature, and to not allow the world or our own thoughts and feelings and impressions control us, but to allow Christ to control us. Ren's true identity is fundamentally and completely as an ambassador of God. And the goal of our life, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, our goal of our life is to please the Lord, not to please our neighbors or our spouse or our boss, but to please the Lord. End of sentence. So have confidence and persist and ask God, God, what do you want me to know? God, what do you want me to do? Week eight with intercessors. Bob got into 1 Timothy 2:8, where Paul's instruction on worship, and that we're to pray for all people. We're to intercede with thanksgiving. I like Bob's line here. It's hard to go wrong in prayer when our words are clothed in thankfulness. Pray for our leaders. Pray for all our leaders. Pray for salvation. For God desires that all be saved. And then he closed with men lead the way. That's verse 8. Men lead the way. Week 9, that was Freedom Sunday. That's where Bob and Carol Island split the service and talked about the international justice mission with over 40 million people are in slavery across the world, and 25% of them are children. And it is nice to know internationally that there is this huge, you know, we need to be aware of this huge problem, but there are areas to serve in our own backyard. The IJM is great. We also locally have the Corner Point and Special Advocates and Forever Found. So if you feel that being an advocate might be part of your identity, please talk to Bob, talk to Carol, talk to Shar Bush, Brittany, they're all very engaged in these type of ministries locally. Week 10, the Kingdom Connector. This was John 1:35. It was a neat section here where Jesus comes across a couple of John the Baptist disciples, and pretty much all he says to them is, come and see. And immediately Andrew left, and he went to go get his brother Peter. Jesus goes to another group, and he calls Philip and Nathaniel, and he uses the very sophisticated spiritual line, come and see. Boom. So to go out and promote the kingdom, bring the people to Jesus, extend invitations, just simply ask, come and see. So, and this was another summary here. So are there, as far as your identity in Christ, are you an ambassador, an intercessor, an advocate? Are you a connector? And week 11 ended with being a disciple maker, and that's really an identity that we should all have. And Bob talked about, you know, 2 Timothy 2 with competing as an athlete. And Bob had the interesting story about how the Japanese Olympic team, the 4x100 team, spent years studying the best way to hand off to the next runner, and that through just a more effective way of handing off, they were able to come in second in the Olympics, which they had never placed in any of the Olympic events prior to that. But the question, of course, is, who am I handing off to? Who am I investing in? What do disciple makers know? They know the source of their strength. They know it comes from Jesus. It's about his grace, not our competence. They pass on trusted material to a trusted servant. A lot of those trusted materials are just our experiences and what we've seen. We remember who we serve. We compete to win. We understand the reward. And Bob closed that sermon with their Chariots of Fire quote from Eric Liddell, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And just summarizing this in a few bullet points here, what my takeaways were from the 11-week identity series. And again, if there was a week that you missed or you'd like more detail on any of these, please let Bob know, let me know. Happy to send you more details on that specific week or weeks. But to summarize, the kingdom of God is here and now. It's just so easy to get distracted. The world does not want you to know that the kingdom of God is here and now, and wherever a few faithful people are gathered, that's it. It is not some future destination. Like someday this is going to all be so cool. No, it's here and now, despite our circumstances. Read scripture. Read scripture and pray listening prayers to help find your identity, to find out what God wants you to do next. As I mentioned, I'm coming up on my 7th year as an elder. This is my last year. We're passing off to a couple of new guys, a couple of retreads, but it's great to have new blood in here as well. But you know, we have the next generation coming, and that's who we need to be pouring into. And just to reemphasize that the world will always be trying to deceive me. And personally, I think out of the whole sermon series, the best scripture that Bob had that kind of tied this together for me was 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, not will be, but you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession today, not someday, not if you walk the right walk. You are here today. And you can declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, now. And once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So I'm hoping that was helpful, but just to reiterate what I thought was a very powerful sermon. And I appreciate your time. Again, if there's any questions on the identity, I think that's a fundamental issue that we need to have squared away before we go out serving and doing the Christian walk. With that, I'll call up Ren Lawrence.
Well, this is an interesting time for us, and I'm going to speak a little bit about kind of my perspective. Having been a longtime participant, member, involved before we were a church kind of perspective, I'm going to reiterate and reinforce what the guys have said. Man and I have had the great fortune of being allowed to serve in a very unique place that really started out as a place that never intended to be a church. We just really kind of intended to be a place where people could meet. We call it a hospital for those that were hurting and those that had suffered and those that had questions. And I can remember, I was telling somebody after the first service, I can remember the first two or three meetings we had where it was really nothing but tears and questions and talk. And then one of our attendees to those services said, you know, we should really be about something, going towards something, not being coming from something. In other words, don't live in the past. What's our future going to be? And from there, we became a Bible study, never intending to be a church still. We fought that idea. But God obviously had other plans and has blessed this place immensely. And I have to tell you, with the perspective of time, I look back and I ask myself this morning, where do I see God? Where have I seen God move and act in relation to CBC, especially as it relates to my life and where I was as a Christian, where I am now, where my heart was, where my actions were not good? And this place is amazing in that it's allowed somebody like me to be here today, but not just here, to have so many opportunities to serve. And I guess my challenge is, are you willing to really serve? Because for us, we weren't, as the guys have said, it's not qualification. It's not necessarily I have a particular skill. It was just we were willing. And so my encouragement to all of you is, take a step in faith. That's the history of this church. There are times where we didn't know if we'd continue as a church. There are times where we weren't sure about the decision to be made. But the fundamental thing that this church, this body, has always done, your leaders have always done, is take a step in faith. And my encouragement to you is to continue to do that as a body. I want to say something about the eldership, too. Having been involved here, and again, Amanda and I will be leaving this place in 2 weeks. This place is in our hearts. This place is in our DNA. But as I look back, beyond the opportunities that God has allowed us to have in His grace and His mercy and His love to serve Him, one of the greatest blessings that I have is being involved with your leadership team. I've watched these guys, I've watched myself, willing to serve, become more than friends, we've become family, and to grow together in God. There have been times where we had deep disagreement, especially early in our history. And we really never at points thought if we would make it as a church. But in that, this team always loved each other, always prayed for each other, always supported each other, no matter the depth of disagreement or viewpoints on different things at the time we were discussing them or evaluating them. And God always provided an answer. Always provided an answer. We know that He is faithful because He has been faithful. The scripture tells us that, but we know it from our own personal experience. These guys are awesome. It's been the blessing of my life to serve with them. You have great leadership here, and what makes it great is that they love God and that they seek God. Scott reiterated a lot of the things this church has done and things we've become involved with, and some of that we never planned it. You know, God just presented it, and we took a step. But the one thing that's always bound us together is in everything we've done, we've sought God, first and foremost. So, we're going to miss you all. but we'll never stop praying for you, and you guys will see us from time to time. That's either a promise or a threat, depending on your... Okay. What I really wanted to talk about is, as we go, and is this long perspective of history with CBC, I really wanted to focus on three or four things, some of which you've already heard, and I want to reiterate and reinforce, but it's my own personal perspective. An encouragement to y'all. First off, fix your eyes. We've talked about it numerous times. We're citizens of heaven. Fix your eyes on the God that loves you so much. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says this. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights, fix your gaze on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For your life, for you have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. We talk about being Christians. We've talked about the identity series, made a huge difference in my perspective of how I do things, because it moved me from more, not completely, but more of an academic understanding of that to a personal understanding of who I really am and why am I really here. I've read those words, I've heard those verses, but I think as a body and individually, we need to really personalize that and internalize that. It's not that the things here are bad. That's not what God is saying. That's not what Paul is saying. It's saying that we are sojourners on this earth. And our perspective and our life has to be invested in the God that loved us so much, in serving the God that loved us so much, that my identity now is as his child and his servant. But I can only do that if I remain focused and fixed and steadfast on the God that loved me so much. So fix your eyes. Number two, for me, actually, this is number two. Be thankful. Be thankful. A lot of us have had challenging years this year. Things we've encountered, things we've endured, things we've gone through. Within that, find a way to be thankful. The good things are easy to be thankful for. But I've found that if I'm thankful, it informs and colors everything else I do. I seem to be more patient. I seem to be more forgiving. I seem to be more merciful. It's not that things don't bug me. It's not that I don't get angry. It's just that I find ways to be thankful for things that God has placed in my life. And sometimes those are the obvious, awesome things. My family. Sometimes it's the awesome sunsets we occasionally have here in Ventura. Find a way to be thankful. You know, David in Psalm 107 said that give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And he finishes that verse by saying, for his love endures forever. It's an all-encompassing statement. And when you think about what David went through in his life, it's actually a pretty amazing statement. Paul says it in Colossians. He gives this list of behaviors that we shouldn't indulge in anymore because we're not ourselves anymore. We now belong to Christ. And so he gives us this list. And it's not a rule list. It's a list of how we should behave because we love our God and now serve him. And at the very end of that list, almost as an afterthought, he says, oh yeah, and be thankful. As if it should be a common reaction that we as Christians have. But for me, if I can be thankful first, it informs all those other behaviors. Be thankful. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for this fellowship. Be thankful most of all for Jesus Christ who loved you and saved you. That's number two. Number three, be loving. Always. We talk so much about this that it's sometimes becomes a little more academic, a little bit more something we know, but hard to live out. My encouragement to you is just love on each other always. Forgive faults. Live it, don't say it. Walk it, don't talk it. It's been something I've had to come to terms with in my own life, because I say that I love everybody, I'm a Christian, but the truth is I really don't. But we are called as ambassadors and servants, and more importantly, children of God, to make allowances for each other's faults, as Paul says, and forgive. So let's quit talking about it, and let's begin to love it, live it. John says it this way in 1 John chapter 4. He says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Verse 11, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. And the point is not that we love each other in our own strength, but that we love each other as God loved us. Absolutely, completely, every single day. Point four, be brave, be courageous. I think sometimes this is the Achilles heel in the Christian armor. Because we know so much about God, we know about Jesus, but we really don't share it as much as we should. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, Moses has died. They're getting ready to go in the promised land. Joshua has now been really appointed by God to be the leader of the Israelite nation. And in that chapter, depending on your translation, he says 3 or 4 times to the Israelites, speaking for God, be strong and courageous. Be brave and courageous. And then he finishes it by this, again, speaking for God. And he says this in verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Peter says it this way. Be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies within you to anyone that would ask. God presents us with opportunities as a church and as individually, and as our identity in Christ is his child, his ambassador, we need to be brave and courageous, full of the Holy Spirit, in humbleness and grace, to speak into those situations that God gives us. Our home is heaven. We are sojourners here. We need to step in and step up. I need to step in and step up when God presents those opportunities to me that I know are opportunities, and too often I cower or make a joke to deflect. Always, always in mercy and grace. So fix your eyes. Be thankful. Be loving always. And be strong and courageous. As we leave this place, that's our encouragement to you. That's our encouragement to us. Continue to serve the God you love. As the band comes forward, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to play. That would drive everybody out. But I just want you to know from Amanda and I's perspective. We love this place. This place is not this building. This place is y'all. We've been blessed. We have been blessed by knowing most of you. But more than that, we're very aware that God has allowed us. And if you knew us better, you'd probably wonder why God ever allowed us. But God has allowed us to serve him through this place, through this very unique place. I don't know if you know how unique this place is from your leadership to every ministry that exists here. And so we're humbled. We're thankful. We'll miss you. And let me pray, and the band will play before I start blubbering even more.